And turning your Bibles with me today to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, beginning with verse 22. Jacob wrestles with God. Let me say that I appreciate those young students coming and preaching for the last two Sundays. Pray for Cooper Starnes. He is at Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte. He's in his last year. He has been an intern in the Grace Church down in Morganton, and he has been doing a great job. He has a family, and I would just ask you to pray for him as God leads him toward the ministry. When Alex was examined for candidacy, he was being examined for licensure to be able to preach the gospel in our presbytery, and we may have been the first church that he was able to preach in on a continual basis. So I appreciate the way the Lord's working in Cooper's life. And then for Alex, you certainly pray for him as he prepares for the ministry. There is a little prayer bulletin on the bulletin board out there from Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I would encourage you to just look at the different things that they've asked us to pray for. And they also have an email address where you can go to the site for Greenville Seminary, and you can kind of keep up with what they're doing, and I encourage you to do that. Well, Genesis chapter 32, Jacob's life. Jacob wrestles with God. Genesis 32, beginning with verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. It's a river. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else there he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" There he blesses him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is of the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy and precious Word of God. When we come to Scripture, we may be tempted to romanticize the characters of Scripture. To such an extent, we may think that they are so godly that they are without sin or without accountability. And actually, we have been learning that that's not true, isn't it? We have been looking at Scripture, and we certainly looked at David's life, and we saw that even as a man of God, there were weaknesses in his life, in his leadership. There was times when he sinned against his God. The other half of that is that God did not let that go unaccounted for. God dealt with those dear ones in the state that they were in, and he worked with them right where they were, and they were human beings. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Doesn't that highlight the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That all of us are on the same par and the same need of the Lord? That there is none above the other in that regard, with regard to the issue of sin. And certainly as we look at the Old Testament, the patriarchs, I had a friend who wanted to write on the life of the patriarchs. He wrote on Abraham, Isaac, and he left out Jacob and wrote on Joseph. I said, why did you leave Jacob out? He said, have you ever read about Jacob's life? He said, you ought not to ask me the question why I left Jacob out. And I thought to myself, how interesting. But it was not true. Abraham lied about his wife, didn't he? There were things in their lives. Sarah, she laughs at the Lord when, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. Lies. And boy, I tell you what, the angel of the Lord rebukes her for that. So the characters, we've looked at the life of David. Moses, because of his anger, is not permitted to go into the promised land. So we need to be careful to not so romanticize human nature and the characters of Scripture that are recorded in Scripture to the extent that we forget that they are human beings as well in sin. And Jacob is no less a characterization of that. Remember, Jacob, by deceit, defaults and defrauds his brother of the birthright. He deliberately does that. He also fools and deceives and lies to his own father with regard to the blessing that is to be received by the older one. He dresses up like Esau. Can you imagine? Matter of fact, after that is found out, his brother begins to pursue him, and Jacob has to flee, doesn't he? Flees for his life. He goes to his relative's home in the north, Laban. And even when he gets there, Jacob doesn't change. He tricks Laban. He makes an agreement with him, but he works it out to his advantage. He figures out the angle. he figures out what would best advantage him, and he takes advantage of Laban. And he doesn't tell Laban about what he's doing. He tricks him. And so pretty much when it's all over with, Jacob, by deceit and lying, has almost taken everything that Laban has. And at the end of the time that they promised to be together, Jacob doesn't tell Laban that he's leaving. He just packs up and leaves. And it's quite interesting. He gets back. He gets back down to the Jabbok River. And if there's ever proverbial rock and hard place, that's where Jacob is now in his life. He's come to a point of being between a rock and a hard place because Laban is coming after him from one end. And guess who he's meeting from the other end? Going back home. He's meeting Esau. And Esau has 400 men with him. He's lied to Esau. He's deceived. He's defrauded Esau. poor old Jacob. Boy, don't we just feel sorry for Jacob. No, he was a liar. Was a deceiver. He took advantage of those around him. Matter of fact, his very name, Jacob, means trickster. One who seeks his own advantage. One who considers all the angles and takes advantage of it. That's what Jacob's name means. Here in this context of this passage of Scripture, we find Jacob, and not only is he a liar and a deceiver, but Jacob comes down to the river of Jabbok, and listen, he is willing to sacrifice others in order to preserve himself. Because you remember when he gets to the river or to the stream, there, he realizes Esau is not that far away with 400 men. He's pretty much afraid. When you live life on your own and you seek your own angles, you ought to be afraid at times. Jacob's afraid. He's trembling. The Bible, the Hebrews, he's trembling. He's alone and trembling in this context. But he's willing, even in that context, to sacrifice everybody else to preserve himself. You know what he does when he gets down to the river and he knows he's going back over into Esau's land. He sends his cattle over first with the herders. Well, hey, if you meet Esau out there, you're going to be our point man. By the way, if you meet Esau, well, if he didn't kill you first, would you tell him that I'm waiting for him and I want to reconcile to him? So Jacob is most willing to send his servants and his cattle and all that he owns out before himself. And he goes back across the river and waits. And guess what? It doesn't stop there. He gets down toward the end of the day and he said, well, maybe that's not enough. I know what I'll do now. I'll send my servants and all of my family. I'll send Rachel and Leah and the children. I'll send them on over. And certainly Esau might have mercy on them. He may kill them, but, you know. Think about this man and his selfishness. How many times have you gotten yourself in a fix and it was your own doing? How many have you ever gotten yourself in a fix and it was your own doing? And Jacob is in a fix, but he's willing to sacrifice his own family at the hand of Esau in order to preserve his own skin. Oh, you babies, just go on over there. It's going to be all right. Just tell Esau. Listen, I'm going back across the stream here. I'm going across back the river, and I'll see y'all in the morning, if you are alive. Human nature is quite interesting, isn't it? I see that kind of nature at work in our own day in a very powerful way. Self-interest. Willing to throw others under the bus for our own advantage. Jacob. They should be called Jacob. Because that's what they are. Jacob. And Jacob, interestingly enough, that kind of lifestyle ends up being very lonely, doesn't it? In this case, literally. Because it's dark now. Jacob has done all that he can do, and he goes back across the stream and he begins to lay down to rest. I'm convinced that a soul like that can't rest. I'm convinced that the very evil and self-oriented person today really can't sleep well. Jacob can't sleep. Bible says that he is fearful and he's trembling and he's alone. Isn't that what sin does to us when we live for self? It leaves us in a position of just self. And that is one of the things you ought to declare to this generation that lives for itself and its own interests. Listen, when it's all over with, that's all you're going to have is just yourself. And it's really not very pleasant. Amen? Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't leave us in our sin and our selfishness? That He brought us into a relationship with Himself so that we might not be alone. Well, Jacob's got some lessons to learn. And just as he lays down and is trying to sleep, there is a hand on his shoulder in the dark. And somebody's come after him. Oh, it's probably one of Esau's men who've tracked around and got a hold. And he grabs Esau. Esau begins to fight for his life. The Bible says now, this amazing thing, says they wrestled all night. I'm sure that Esau had all kinds of thoughts about who this is. that is wrestling with me. And he doesn't prevail, really, in one sense. As a matter of fact, this one touches his hip in the middle of the wrestling through the night, and he causes his hip to go out of joint. For the rest of his life, Jacob is going to limp as a result of this little wrestling match. I used to wrestle in high school. You know, wrestling matches last for 6 minutes in two-minute intervals. And when I finished 6 minutes of wrestling in high school, I thought I was going to die. I told my coach Fry at times, I'm just not wrestling anymore. And especially if you got a wrestler who was stronger than you and beat the daylights out of you. It was even worse. Wrestling is not fun. It's exhausting. Can you imagine here in this context that all night there's this wrestling with this man? All things, kinds of things could have gone through his mind. Is this one of Esau's men? Maybe Laban, one of his servants, have come down to get me. You never can look over your shoulder too much when you've crossed people and deceived people and lived that way. You never know what might just be over your shoulder if you've lived a deceptive life. And all of a sudden, this hand is on his shoulder. Little did he know it's not Esau wrestling with him or one of his servants. Little did he know that it's not Laban or one of Laban's servants wrestling with him. But little did he know that it was the very living Lord Jesus Christ who had come and put his hand on his shoulder and was wrestling with him that night. Has the Lord Jesus Christ ever wrestled with you about your life? Well, this is what it had come to. And remember that it is not Jacob who wrestled with this man. You remember this, that it was the man, the angel of the Lord, who wrestled with Jacob. Sometimes we don't realize who our adversary just might be in some cases. Certainly this has got to be my adversary Esau. Certainly this has got to be my adversary Laban. No, this is my adversary, the Lord. Who has come to wrestle with me spiritually where I am. Sometimes we look at the Lord as very benign. You know, I know Esau's got a reason to fight with me. I know Laban's got a reason to fight with me, but you know my Lord is benign, and he sits in a rocking chair up in heaven, and you know he's just a God that you know he's just observing things, but he really doesn't pay much attention. Really, how Jacob had underestimated his God. There are times in your life and my life where God comes to us and says there's got to be an end to it. And I mean right now. There's got to be an end to this, Jacob. Lonnie, there's got to be an end to this right now. And all of a sudden that Lord that loves you becomes your adversary. And he doesn't do it to harm you, does he? He does it to break Jacob. He does it to break his heart and his will. Look how stubborn deceit and sin and lying and selfishness is. Look how deep-rooted it is. And God says, it's got to stop, Jacob. And it's going to stop tonight. And the Lord wrestles with Jacob. Now, I want you to know that in this context, God doesn't play fair. Somebody, well, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Don't take me wrong about that, but God doesn't play by the rules. Jacob is wrestling with someone much greater than he is. Is Jacob really going to be able to defeat the Lord Jesus in a wrestling match? Matter of fact, the Lord knows just at the right time of this wrestling. By the way, the Lord's not tired. He's not wore out. And just about long through the wrestling match, the Lord reaches over and says, bing. Oh. Boy, that was a low blow. The hip is, out of socket. That's what I mean. Who's going to win this battle? Who's going to win this wrestling match? The Lord's going to win. Can I tell you who's going to win in the wrestling match with you in your spiritual life? Can I tell you who's going to win? You already know, don't you? By Scripture, the Lord is. And as the night goes on and the wrestling match continues and it comes to the morning time, and Jacob is exhausted. He is at the end of himself. Isn't that what happens in the gospel? When Jesus comes into our life. And then He brings us to an end to ourselves. And Jacob is at his end. Some have said, actually, that this may have been the very time in which Jacob, his life is surrendered to the Lord and he comes to faith in the Lord. I'm not sure about that, but I can see how you might argue that. Because there is a change, isn't there? Isn't there a change after this wrestling match? Yeah, there's a change in Jacob. As a matter of fact, it's funny how Jacob was willing to deceive people and was successful. He was in the world, he deceived people as Jacob and was successful. And it's very interesting in this context that Jacob does not become successful or outwit the Lord. And he comes to an end of himself and fails in this wrestling match, but that it's the very success in his life that God intended for him to make him what He wanted him to be and to be the leader of Israel. Do you know that that's how Israel's name came into being? Who are you? You're not one of Esau's men, are you? You're not one of Laban's men, are you? Jacob declares, I saw the Lord, you hear the Scripture, I saw the Lord face to face, and He did not destroy me. Think about the grace of God. Come into grips with a man like Jacob. God was willing to come and wrestle with him and bring him to the point of surrendering his life to Him. One thing is the next morning, can I tell you something? Jacob walked over that river a new man. He walked over that river a changed man. And now he was not afraid to meet Esau. And do you know in this account, if you go back and look at it, do you see how the Lord worked with Laban and the Lord also worked with Esau? You remember how the Lord came to Esau and to Laban and said, listen, don't do him harm, and speaks to them in a dream. Both Laban and Esau. And was God preparing reconciliation? Was He preparing Jacob for a new lease on life? He sure was. But can I tell you something? When Jacob limped across that river, he limped different man. It was not now fear and tremble and being alone, but now it was a matter of the truth and of doing what God would call him to do to serve Him. And that's exactly what Jacob did from that time on. As a matter of fact, some of us who have come to the Lord still walk with a limp. How about you? Did the Lord ever have to deal with you because of your former way of life? And does it sit right here on your heart and say, Oh, I know, Lord. Oh, I know. And some of us as Christians walk with a limp today. Not because God was unmerciful, but because God was merciful in His grace to save a wretch like me. I still walk with a limp. I can't help it. It's just who I am, the Lord. But He saved me as a result of it. Isn't it a marvelous thing to know that there are several principles that we can draw out of this situation? That number one, that every man needs to be saved. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl that has ever lived or ever will live, no matter if they are a patriarch. Lonnie, I wrote on Abraham, I wrote on Isaac, and I wrote on Joseph, but I left Jacob out. I just left Jacob out. He was too much. Jacob was just too much. But God saved Jacob, didn't He? God delivered him. God saved him from himself. And all of his conniving, all of his tricksterousness, all of his ways that in which he sought to take advantage of other people, God saved him from that. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned away to our own way. We are none righteous. No, not one. Now, what about your little idiosyncrasies? If you will permit me to call them that. Does God have to deal with you in your little ways? Your little particular issues of life and your peculiarities and ways? Yeah, God even deals with those by His grace. Not only does every person need the Lord Jesus Christ, but unless they find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, they will never find salvation at all. You need to remember that as you share Christ with others. If we don't find salvation in Christ in our lifetime, we will never find salvation at all. Ever. Does that make the gospel and the church important? That all men need to be saved? The gospel is critical. Also, let me say that all men are accountable. Sometimes leaders, because of their power and position, do not like to be held accountable. And sometimes the people who like them will not hold them accountable. What do you think? Oh, that's Mr. Glorious so-and-so. Wow, no, he can do no wrong. And well, if he does do wrong, well, who are we? Sometimes we think that even the best of the characters of Scripture will not be held accountable. And I say to you, not true. You better look at Scripture really carefully, because the Lord disciplines every son He receives. And if you've not been disciplined by the Lord, you are not a son. Hebrews, amen? So don't look at somebody else and say, boy, look what the Lord's doing in their life. The Lord's disciplining them. Be careful. Be very careful if you're the Lord's, because if you act like that and you are like that, God will discipline you. Be careful that your Lord who saves you does not become your adversary. He will, if you are His. And sometimes Christians act like today that they don't need to be accountable. Listen, I have fire insurance. I'm trusting the Lord as my Savior, and I can act the way I want to. I can say what I want to, and I can live the way I want to. No, not true. The Lord will discipline every child of His. They just won't let you get away with it. You can run, Jonah, but you can't hide. Amen? You can run, Jonah, but you can't hide. The Lord is a gracious God, but He's a powerful God. And in His grace, He has to deal with the hardness sometimes of our own life. And listen, no ordinary dealing will do. It has to be the work of God to change and work in these hearts of ours, even as believers. Because the issue is that after we become believers, we believe that we don't need changing. And that can be very deceiving, which is not true. And then finally, my friends, let's say this. The last principle that I see in this situation is that even when a leader sins, or a man like Jacob has been walking in his own flesh and in his own way for so long, that doesn't mean that God will never use them again. Jacob walked a very difficult life apart from God and his own will. And God rebuked him for that, and it worked in his life to bring him along. But did God use Jacob from then on? Oh, yes. You see, Jacob, now your name will no longer be Jacob, trickster, one who takes advantage of others, one who seeks his own interest. Your name is going to be changed from Jacob to Israel. And you know, a lot of people, they say that Israel means that to contend, to wrestle, to contend God. That is, Jacob wrestled with God. No. The name Israel means God wrestled with. God contended. Who's your contender today spiritually? Don't you know who's on the other side of the wrestling ring? Don't you know the Lord who loves you is on the other side of the ring? And you're not going to have to fight just 6 minutes with Him. But until it's done, till your life is surrendered to Him. I have to say that I think that maybe some of that wrestling is never done with. I sometimes think I've made so much progress, but then all of a sudden I turn around and say, where did that come from? Lord, it looks like I've got a lot more to learn. So today, remember Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And God gave him beautiful sons. And a nation was established through Jacob, a sinner, saved by grace. And he was a particular sinner, just like me and you. But praise be to God that God works in the lives of sinners, doesn't He? Transforms them and brings them to Himself and prepares them for what He has for them, the way they are to serve Him. The story of Jacob is not one that is to be taken lightly, because I think in many respects it reflects our life with the Lord. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord's work in our life is a powerful thing. And it's a mighty thing. And isn't it a glorious thing that He works in each one of us in particular in the areas of our life where we most need it? Think about how sovereign He must be of knowing each one of us where we are. And then by His grace in Christ working in us and bringing us more and more to Himself. Every man needs the Lord. Every sinner is corrected. And God still uses a restored sinner in His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Scripture, and especially this passage in Genesis that speaks to us about a man's walk with the Lord. And Lord, many times we look just like Jacob. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work in us by your Spirit in the gospel. Lord, continue to make us what you would have us to be. Lord, mortify sin in our life. If there is a heart of being a trickster or willing to deceive other people, willing to lie to get what we want, Lord, willing to sacrifice others around us for our own gain and our own benefit to make us look good. Lord, if any of those types of things are in us, Lord, would you be pleased to show it to us? Wrestle with us that they might be mortified so that we might be equipped, Lord, to serve you in holiness and righteousness. Lord, give us a heart for what is true and right. We have such a long journey to make, Lord, from our old nature and our little idiosyncrasies and even our deep, deep sins. Lord, we have a long way to go. We know that when we come to Christ, we are forgiven, but sometimes those struggles are not over with. That some of those wrestling matches with the Lord are just actually beginning. Lord, we pray that indeed we will know that you're going to win the battle. You're going to win the match hands down. Lord, help us to humble ourselves here today. To look to you for everything that we need and to trust you to lead us. Lord, help us to see sin when it's coming. Lord, give us hearts to be able to discern in the Lord those little things in our life that we know are not good. Help us to see them coming, Lord, to turn it away. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, for it speaks to human beings like me right where I live. Thank you, Lord, for that, that your grace extends even to the vilest. Lord, thank you for your great love and your grace in Christ, for your saving work in our life. For this we give you thanks. In his name we pray. Amen.